Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Thursday morning. No rain scheduled for today or forecasted for today. And look, again, my heart goes out to everybody. I know people whose houses were flooded, whose cars were flooded, and I'm not trying to minimize this in any way or say that your concern is not valid. The only thing that I want to talk about is it seems as though people seem to be surprised that it's flooding more, but it's flooding more because it's raining more and the city's still or the area is still below sea level. And I saw a story yesterday that I think Alyssa Curtis did at Channel 4 about a lady in Lakeview that had water piling up in essence because the area is sinking. So between that, a fragile pumping system and increased rainfall, I don't know how we can expect anything but things getting worse. And with that in mind, Paul Miller joins us now, an assistant professor of coastal meteorology at LSU. How you doing, Paul?
Doing well. How about yourself, Tommy?
I'm okay, sir. Am I overstating anything there? And again, I'm in no way minimizing what the people that suffered damage went through. I guess what I'm trying to say is that this is the new normal, and I don't know. We're going to have to look at alternative ways to deal with it because you can only pump so much, right? I mean, that the thing we hear over and over and again is an inch for the first hour and a half an inch every hour therein. Well, if it's raining more often and more intense when it does rain, I don't know how we can expect anything but flooding. Am I overstating the obvious?
Yeah, well, you know, New Orleans sort of has the cards stacked against it in a sense, you know, just due to geographical factors. As you mentioned, just sort of the fact that it's a low-lying area, that we have the subsidence of the soils that leads to sort of a sinking landscape. Even if there were no projected changes in precipitation or no observed changes in precipitation, just sort of that pooling of or ponding of water is something that sort of just geographically is going to sort of become an issue more and more leading into the future. And then you sort of compound that then with changes in precipitation. And so you sort of end up with what seems like sort of anecdotally, as well as, you know, we can back this up quantitatively in you know, our research, that sort of events feel like they're happening more and more often as far as just sort of flooding, like you mentioned, cars and homes, that we're seeing these impacts more frequently than maybe it felt like in the past.
So what are we seeing just when it comes to rainfall that's not related to storms or tropical weather? Maybe I should have put storms in with tropical weather, but tropical weather events, just what we call, what we would normally call traditional rainfall.
Yeah. So this could be your, you know, pop-up summer afternoon thunderstorm, or it could be just what feels like a persistent kind of three-day wet spell in February where it just sort of seems like it's constantly raining for a few days on end. So what we're seeing there, so sort of tropical cyclones aside, we know it's actually very well established, like going back to like the 1800s, that the warmer air gets, that it can hold more water vapor. And so that's sort of some physics that's been around for a really, really long time. It's sort of one of kind of our bread and butter in a sense for when we do our weather modeling and sort of our sort of atmospheric predictions. And so And so what that means, approximately for every degree warmer that the air gets, it can hold about 7% more water vapor. In a more sort of innocuous setting, this is the reason why your lips get chapped in the winter and not in the summer, right? You know, when it's colder in the winter, the atmosphere can't hold as much water vapor. The air is a little bit drier, and so that you can end up with chapped lips, chapped skin. In the summer, that's not an issue. So the availability of more water vapor as the atmosphere warms means that there's just sort of more ammunition there for a storm to work with. If there's more water vapor, it can convert that into rain more efficiently, and then that rain arrives at the surface and can cause flooding. And so that doesn't have anything to do with tropical cyclones. That's just sort of the physics of rainfall sort of explaining that connection.
So are we seeing more intense rain? When it does rain, is it raining more?
Mm-hmm. So that's there's a lot of analyses that go and sort of look at the frequency of what, you know, we'll call like heavy rainfall events or extreme weather events. And so that's something that, you know, isn't unique to Louisiana necessarily, that you can have these sorts of studies that have shown that, you know, events like, even you go to, you go to Baltimore and some of the flooding that they've had, or things like, Hurricane Harvey in Texas, that sort of events like that have been exacerbated and have maybe become more intense because of the additional water vapor availability in recent years.
So when it comes to predicting rainfall, when it comes to predicting rain as it relates to an approaching tropical storm, a hurricane, is it getting easier to predict, mm-hmm. harder to predict, or do we know that there's going to be more rainfall?
Well, so one of the issues with trying to accurately forecast the amount of rainfall associated with a tropical cyclone is that so much of that is dependent on the track of the storm, and also the speed that the storm is moving. And so this is where sort of it becomes a little bit harder to sort of relate sort of what we know is going on with rainfall in general due to just an increased availability of water vapor, within trying to, you know, specifically relate that to how much rain will occur and where with a specific tropical system. And so we're pretty good at knowing sort of the types of rainfall totals we can expect from a storm, whether a storm's going to be, you know, like Hurricane Harvey, you know, we knew, you know, nearly a week in advance that was going to be a historic problem for Southeast Texas. But, you know, that's largely because we can tell sort of generally where the tropical cyclone is going and that it was going to stall out somewhere. You know, events like Francine can be a little bit harder because sort of the track of the storm, you know, 20 miles east, 30 miles west, has a big influence on who's going to get that sort of core of 10 inches of rain.
So I remember watching something after Katrina, and I think it might have been when LSU was playing Tennessee. You remember that game or not?
No,
I think LSU was like 35-7, Tim, right? They were out 35-7 in Baton Rouge, and then Tennessee came back and won. Anyway, but it was right after that, for whatever reason, Doc. Sorry, stream of consciousness there. And they were talking about doing core samples and drilling, and for whatever reason, they found out that, and they said the next 20 years after Katrina was going to be an extremely active hurricane season. And it seems like some of the seasons have been so far this year, perhaps not as much. What do we know? What can you tell us with coastal meteorology as far as hurricanes, tropical storms, rainfall events, etc.? What do we know has changed, say, since Katrina, or is changing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, you know, Tommy, that's a good point that, you know, that even sort of following that historic 2005 hurricane season, which just was incredible just in the terms of the sheer number of storms, and then additionally the impacts that Louisiana felt from those storms as well, that really the period after that was relatively calm. That, you know, really the next sort of like major hurricane to make landfall on a U.S. coastline was, you know, the least, you know, getting up into the Cat 4, Cat 5 territory was Hurricane Michael, I believe. And so you sort of had this relatively calm period. And, you know, additionally, then, as you've mentioned, sort of our most recent sort of seasonal hurricane forecast where, you know, before the start of hurricane season, we say, oh, it's going to be an above active year or it's going to be a more active than normal year. And then it seems to maybe come out closer to normal or maybe even a little less than normal. Sort of that art of sort of the seasonal forecast has become, at least anecdotally, a little bit harder to nail down. Some of that can have to do with, you know, that you train sort of those forecasting models over a historical set of conditions that, you know, maybe you start in 1980 and you go to the year 2000 and you use that period to inform sort of how sea surface temperatures might lead to more tropical cyclones or how important El Nino is. But sometimes those relationships can kind of break down the further into the future you go, and that can cause some of these errors in the seasonal forecast that we've kind of been seeing recently.
I presume it is Dr. Miller?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, you worked hard for that PhD. I know we got to go, but look, I enjoyed talking to you. I hope you can come back, spend some more time with us, all right? I'd love to pick your brain.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having
Thank me. Thank you. Dr. Paul Miller, Assistant Professor of Coastal Meteorology at LSU. Go Tigers, 856 Traffic, WWL.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.